All right, you guys, happy Tuesday. Fun episode for you today because Emmanuel Macron was just asked about this unprecedented lawsuit against me. And he is just such a little punk. He refuses to say my name while also discussing me. I'm going to show you that. Also, do not get too excited, but someone believes that they may have just spotted Jean-Michel Trogneau in a photo that dates back to the 1970s, which is right around the time that JMT goes missing. And he's in America. If this is actually him, we don't actually know that. Going to be, as I said, a very exciting episode. Let's jump right into it. Welcome back to Candace. I said don't get excited, but I'm actually pretty excited. Foremost, Emmanuel Macron, he's just a weenie, a big weenie pants. I have to say that truly. He's probably going to include that somewhere else in the lawsuit when he refiles. I don't know. But it's undeniable at this point, right? It's so pathetic to look at this man go around and try to explain. Like, you can truly just understand that they're all actors. They're just actors. Anyways, today there is this massive news piece in Paris Match, which is a mainstream publication over there, wherein Emmanuel Macron is interviewed by a friendly journalist. They make it very clear this is a friendly journalist who deeply respects Macron, probably thinks that he's a savant or whatever. And that journalist's name is Darius Roquebin. And of course, he can't deny the elephant in the room. He asks Emmanuel Macron the following question. Obviously, we're translating this into English, but Darius says, American nationalist circles are hostile to you. You have decided to file a complaint against Candace Owens, the influencer who spreads the rumor that your wife is a man. This breaks with the widespread custom amongst heads of state that of not reacting to this kind of attack. Emmanuel Macron then says, yes, there was a tradition of saying we must let it flow. That's what we did at the beginning. At first, it was in France. We were advised not to file a complaint. This risks causing a quote-unquote Streisand effect, which draws even more attention to these lies. But it has taken on such a magnitude in the United States that we had to react. It is a question of enforcing the truth. Enforcing the truth. We are talking about the civil status of the First Lady of France, a wife, a mother, a grandmother. It is not freedom of speech to want to prevent the restoration of the truth. Those who talk to you about this alleged freedom of speech are those who prohibit journalists in the Oval Office. I don't accept that. Okay, what? Huh? Lot to unpack there. So the person comes back at him, Darius comes back at him, and he says, so you will go to the end in this fight to get a conviction? And Emmanuel Macron says, of course, it's about defending my honor because it's nonsense. She, referring to me, is someone who knew very well that she was holding false information. And she did so in order to harm in the service of an ideology and with established connections with far right leaders. End quote. All right, guys, it's about honor. That's what it's just about, honor. And this is a wife and this is a mother. And don't you guys understand that he has to do this thing? It's not about freedom of speech. It's bigger than freedom of speech because people that would claim freedom of speech are the same people who would deny reporters access into the pool at the White House. That has nothing to do with me. That feels like, honestly, like a jab to Trump or something. And so, yeah, he's saying, we don't have to think about speech here. We are going to prosecute. We're going to convict her. And of course, this journalist, because he's a state performer, that's how you get these interviews with presidents. You have to be willing to just look at them and say, you're amazing. You're so sparkly, especially in Europe. Of course, the journalist, Darius, never asks the obvious questions here. He never asks Emmanuel Macron why exactly it is that he won't take the much easier path of defending his quote-unquote honor by just asking his wife, quote-unquote wife, to publish photos from the first 30 years of her life. You know, that gap in her life. That feels like if you want to defend your honor, you would just come out and do that. Maybe walk around with Jean-Michel Trogneau. But no, he can't do that, nor can the journalist ask why he won't do that. Curiously, also, the journalist maybe forgot to ask Emmanuel Macron the even bigger question. the, hey, so if that's really a thing, why don't you sue Xavier Poussard? You're saying the series became so big in America. Well, that series was based on the book, which was written by a French citizen who we therefore have some level of dominion over. Yeah, we are French. Yes, you are the French president. Xavier Poussard, sitting duck. He is French. Sue him first for defamation. No. They didn't ask that question. No. Xavier Poussard was featured in my series explaining the book and all his entire investigation, and he is not being sued for defamation. Instead, he is being sued for cyberbullying. So what's this really about, Emmanuel Macron? We're not going to find out from the journalists. Of course, Darius didn't even push back on the dumber idea there. Emmanuel Macron is alleging that he had to file the lawsuit because the story became so big in America. And so he filed the lawsuit and then made it globally big. Like, what are we talking about? You're going to fight till the end to severe conviction. Great. We love that, Emmanuel, because we want to sit you down in court. We want to be able to ask these questions that you still will not answer, that Brigitte still will not answer. That's all anybody has been asking for. Hence the reason we went to you before we even published the first episode. Good luck proving that actual malice standard when you yourself had a route to dispel any of these quote-unquote rumors about your wife's true sex. Anyways, you guys, it's completely crazy. He will not say my name. He will not say my name. I'm feeling like Destiny's Child right now. I really am. Let me show you guys that song. Remember that throwback song? Say my name. Why the sudden change? Say my name, say my name. If no one is around you. That's how I feel right now, you know? He's acting kind of shady. We know that ain't a lady. Macron, say my name. Okay, now let's get into something equally, if not more interesting. Actually, way more interesting. Potentially something. Okay, so potentially something. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm only presenting this because we want more information, and this has been an open investigation. Like I said, it would be a closed investigation if they themselves could answer these questions, but they can't because privacy. Yeah, well, just to recap before we get to this photo. The trail of Jean-Michel Trogneau runs completely cold just before 1970, okay? So I'm going to go back to that timeline that we presented throughout our Becoming Brigitte series because you probably need a little bit of a refresh here. Here we go. We just traced Jean-Michel Trogneau's life from being born in 1945, but the relevant portion that I want you guys to look at is in 1963, because in 1963, that is the year that Jean-Michel Trogneau turns 18, okay? And at that time in France, military men were required to sign up for the military. It was compulsive. You're 18 years old, you have to sign up, or else you have to present a valid reason as to why you cannot join the military at that time. So we know that on February 12th, 1963, according to Xavier Poussard's stellar reporting, the day after Jean-Michel Trogneau's 18th birthday, his father, John Trogneau, performs the military registration on his son's behalf. And what's weird about that year is that in that file, as his father is filing for a deferment, we learn that Jean-Michel is living in Algeria at the beginning of that year. Then we know that by the end of that same year, he's back in France and he is at an engineering school, okay? That's where Xavier and the journalists were able to hunt down that now infamous photo, that 1963, I think 64 photo of Jean-Michel from, like, it was an engineering school in France. Okay, cool. Xavier Poussard then was able to confirm in his book that 2 years later in 1965, Jean-Michel requests another military deferment for 2 years, which would bring us to 1967. And thanks to a mainstream journalist, remember the story goes that people started realizing that there was one sibling that was unaccounted for, like Brigitte Macron is now the First Lady of France. And they're looking at this photo and they're like, wait a second, we know where all of these siblings allegedly are, but we don't know where that little guy on the left is, that kind of looks exactly like Brigitte, Jean-Michel. And because the press was able to get ahead of it and like, oh yeah, that is kind of a missing sibling. Let's look into him. A mainstream journalist was able to confirm that Jean-Michel Trogneau in 1967 was in Speyer, Germany. Okay. There he was registered as a non-commissioned officer. He was playing field hockey at the Speyer Club. for the season 1967 to 1968. So that's where he was. He was in Germany. And that could make sense because they had an engineering regiment in Speyer at that time. Militarily speaking, that could make sense. But then, after 1967, 1968, the trail runs cold. We don't know what happened to Jean-Michel Trogneau through documentation. But what we do know is that Xavier Poussard has tried to access his military file further. And we know that that military file was not closed until 1981. Okay, so Xavier Poussard went to them. He said, I would like to look at this file. It's been a very long time, obviously. Just see what this guy was up to for these years. And the military said, no. No dice. You cannot have it. And their reasons was that it would reveal private medical information. So it was a privacy concern. There's private medical information here. You cannot have it. Okay. So the broader question, which we have had since the beginning of the series, is what the heck was Jean-Michel doing for the military throughout those years, right? What was he doing from 1968 to 1981 for the military? And what's interesting is that we know for a fact that Brigitte Macron claims throughout that time, if we can put her anywhere, that she was in America for the moon landing. Again, this was before this entire scandal broke, so she was maybe saying too much, but that's definitely interesting and would be something that we would want to ask her under oath. She told a journalist back in 2021, here's the headline, okay, so you can check it out yourself. That, and the headline here is Brigitte Macron is nostalgic for her American youth. I was there when Armstrong walked on the moon. Yeah, here's the direct quotation from that article. It reads, again, this is Brigitte giving the statement translated from French. She said, this is the country where I went the most when I was a teenager, she said during her interview with Alba Ventura. I was there when Armstrong set the step on the moon. I experienced this with the Americans. Okay, that's very interesting. So she is saying that on July 20th, 1969, she experienced that moment with Americans. Okay, the head of state is saying, the wife of the head of state is saying that after everything that she's gone through, she has this affinity with America. She also says elsewhere in the article, I've been through this with the Americans, referring to the moon landing, and says, quote, I have memories, and the memories of adolescence are those that remain in our hearts. Okay. You love America. Well, America loves you back. If you could tell us what you were doing here, where you were celebrating that, who exactly you were with when you were celebrating that. So this is why this next portion is super interesting, because somebody on X, and again, I will caution you, we're just investigating here. We are literally just asking questions, and it's always faster to just go to the public because the internet sleuths are the best. I mean, this is like our own CIA. This is like the Candace Intelligence Agency of mommy and daddy sleuths out there. Well, somebody on X got my attention when they alleged that they saw someone that they were convinced resembled Jean-Michel Trogneau in a documentary that they were watching regarding the Stanford University prison experiment. Okay, here's a tweet, just so you know. I didn't make this up. This is the tweet. I was watching the TV show about the Stanford prison experiment. Episode one shows a side profile of this young man. At the 5 minute, 45 second mark, I had to rewind and look again. And I went, whoa, that's look, I'm not exactly like a technology here, but definitely looks familiar. And talking about psychology, everything that we have been discussing on this podcast regarding psychology, reading of chaos, it got my attention, okay? And then when you learn what the Stanford prison experiment was, it kind of piques your interest even further. What was the Stanford prison experiment? Well, it was one of the most controversial psychological experiments in history. Not kidding, in history. It was controversial not only because of what was done, but also controversial because years later, a French historian basically said, looked back on everything and said, this was theater. These people were actually performing. A lot of the things the public was told simply weren't true. They did this experiment because they wanted to produce a certain result. But let me tell you about it. Here's what we know for a fact, okay? What we know for a fact is that the experiment was which took place in 1971, and it was funded by the United States Navy and the Marines. Okay, it was funded by the military because they wanted to explore antisocial behavior. They wanted to determine whether or not, when placed under extreme pressure and abuse, okay, think about that. They wanted to know whether or not, when placed under extreme pressure and abuse, you could transform psychologically healthy individuals into individuals that will engage in twisted behavior. Like, will you join the crowd? You go in, you sit there, you're a healthy person, you're not a person that would do anything demented. Well, if we keep pushing and prodding and abusing you, will you join in? Nobody ever knows why our military and Navy is interested. Nobody can answer the question why they're interested in these sort of freaky experiments. But I digress. You already know my opinions about psychology. Anyways, the way it worked was they put out an ad in the newspaper. This was just for people on campus. And they had found 24 healthy male students. They selected 24 out of 75 students, applicants that were then screened for psychological and medical issues to make sure they didn't have any. And the participants were then randomly assigned to play either the role of a prisoner in the simulation or a guard in this mock prison setting. Essentially, the presiding psychologist, this total creep. I mean, I look at him, I'm just like, ick, you know, super ick. Philip Zimbardo and some graduate students, they simulated a prison environment and they just investigated the psychological effects of perceived power and situational roles. The guards became increasingly authoritarian. And we are told that the guards were a part of the experiment, okay? They became increasingly authoritarian, abusive, sadistic, while the prisoners showed signs of extreme distress and eventually submission. The experiment was initially planned to go for 2 weeks, but then it had to be terminated after just 6 days due to the extreme psychological reactions and behaviors that were being displayed by the participants, both the guards and the prisoners alike. And apparently that guy's wife is the one that shut it down. She's also a psychologist, Christina Maslach. She comes in, she's like, oh my gosh, you're suffering too much. We got to end this experiment of these graduate students who are now engaging in abuse of each other. Anyways, I'm going to show you a clip of one of these quote unquote guards who loved speaking about his role as a guard and says, oh yeah, I just signed up for this thing. I was a student and I got into it. I just liked abusing people. I mean, I randomly was picked as a guard and it was cool with me. This guy's name is Dave Eshelman. Take a listen.
Each day I said, well, what can we do to ramp up what we did yesterday? How can we build on that?
Why did you want to ramp things up?
Two reasons, I think. One was because I really believed I was helping the researchers with some better understanding of human behavior. On the other hand, it was personally interesting to me. You know, I cannot say that I, you know, did not enjoy what I was doing. Maybe, you know, having so much power over these poor defenseless prisoners, you know, maybe, you know, you kind of get off on that a little bit.
I couldn't make that up if I wanted to. But again, for those of you that are in the book club and we're learning about Sigmund Freud, that's nothing. That's like par for the course when it comes to psychology and the studies and the gaslighting that's involved in all of it. Anyways, this became an even more massive scandal because there was this historian, French historian, his name is Thibault Le Texier, and he decided to do a deep dive into this experiment and discovered that a lot of the things the public was told about it simply wasn't true. It was more theater. Then you had an individual that did participate in it who said that he was instructed to give interviews thereafter and say the things that he was supposed to say. And his reward for it was that he got basically Philip Zimbardo gave him a bunch of credentials and he was allowed to start his own psychology profession. Lot to get into there, like whether or not it was real or whether or not these people knew what they were doing going in there because they wanted to essentially say, well, this study showed this, and so now it's official. And that guy, Eshelman, he's super shady. He is actually the son of a Stanford engineering professor, and he was a student at Chapman University at the time of the experiment. He, like I said, was the prison's most abusive guard, got into it, was super sadistic about it. And later on, he even describes how he felt bad for the people who abused, or I guess you could say he had empathy for the prison, the military men. Skylar, can you pull up that clip, or I'm sorry, pull up the screenshot of what happened in Iraq? Essentially, we had a bunch of soldiers and they were engaging in abuse. This was in Abu Ghraib and the scandal broke. And he says here, my first reaction was, this is so familiar to me. I knew exactly what was going on. I could picture myself in the middle of that and watching it spin out of control when you have little or no supervision as to what you're doing and no one steps in and says, hey, you can't do this. Things just keep escalating. So he kind of comes out and gives an excuse for the sexual abuse and humiliation that the American soldiers were taking place in at this prison over the Iraqis that they were guarding. Very interesting. Now he becomes like the authority on that. It's a bit of a rabbit hole. Point being, that image definitely caught my eye. Thinking, could that be JMT? I don't know. Obviously, I have no idea. And all we're looking for is more information, honestly, to rule it out, because we just don't know where JMT went. We don't know what he was doing in the military. We don't know why. Also, the United States government is not getting involved here and telling Emmanuel Macron to go away. Do they know something? Do we not know something? Could be a dead end, but something that is interesting, I can tell you about that, is no matter how much I dig into this experiment, I cannot just find a list of the 24 students that participated in this. That should be very easy to find. This was funded by the military. They've got documentaries. They put pictures online. Don't send that to me, guys. We already know that Stanford University has put a trove of pictures and reports regarding the experiment. But actually, they don't show you 24 participants. They don't name 24 participants. There's no way for us to go through it and to go, okay, well, that person's here, that person's there, or to just go, okay, well, that's who this individual was, that's who this prisoner was, that's who this graduate was, and we can confirm that everybody here was just an American student. And yeah, and here's what that individual is doing today. That's what we would like to do. So maybe you are a Stanford University student. Maybe you know a Stanford University student. You know what to do. Go get the trove of evidence, find the list of the students that were involved in this experiment, and email us, tips@candaceowens.com. Maybe you're in the military, maybe you're in the Navy, and you have access to that information, or you know where to look for that information. And obviously, assuming that it's public, which I'm assuming it must be public, please email us and say, yeah, actually, maybe you were involved. Maybe you're one of the 24. And you can confirm to us, yeah, I knew all of those students that were involved. And here's what happened, and here's more information pertaining to it. It seems that this same very small group of quote-unquote students that were involved are the only ones that speak about it, and there are a lot of them that are missing. And we have the time and the patience to look into it, especially when the president of France is suing me. This is my passion now. So that's all I'm going to say about that topic. Now I'm going to throw it to Gold Co., because according to reports, central banks around the world may be buying twice as much gold as official numbers suggest. They're bypassing the traditional markets and buying gold directly from miners in Africa, Asia, Latin America. That means no U.S. dollars, just straight up physical gold. This shift isn't just symbolic. It could be strategic. They could be looking to bypass Western financial systems. Over the years, we've all seen some tough times. We've had skyrocketing inflation, surging national debt, market volatility, and of course, never-ending wars. That's why people and banks are turning to gold, because gold is real, it's tangible, and it's held value for thousands of years, unlike the stock market or currency. Gold does not just vanish when politicians make bad decisions, which, let's be honest, is happening a lot these days. Gold Co. are the experts that I trust to help you protect your retirement with precious metals. So whether you're worried about inflation, government spending, or just want peace of mind, Gold Co. makes it easy. Here's what you need to do. Just visit CandaceLikesGold.com and you'll get your free 2025 gold and silver kit, and you'll learn how you can get up to 10% in free silver. So do not wait for the next crisis. Protect your future today. Go to CandaceLikesGold.com. Again, that's CandaceLikesGold.com. Also, the system is not broken. It's rigged. And if you're buried in debt, that's exactly how they want you to be. Big banks profit when you're desperate. Creditors win when you lose, but you do not have to play their game anymore. PDS Debt helps you take back control. They've helped hundreds of thousands break free from credit cards, loans, and high interest traps. It's your money, it's your future, and it's time to fight for both. PDS Debt goes beyond the numbers to understand your unique financial situation and to craft a personalized plan that's designed just for you. There is no minimum credit score required. They're here to help you save more money, pay off your debt faster, and start putting money back where it belongs, which is in your pocket. PDS Debt is rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. It boasts thousands of five-star reviews on Google, and it holds a five-star rating on Trustpilot. Why? Because PDS has helped hundreds of thousands of people get out of debt. You are just 30 seconds away from being debt-free. Get your free assessment and find the best option for yourself right now at pdsdebt.com/Candace. Again, pdsdebt.com/Candace. pdsdebt.com/Candace. Okay, update for you. A little bit surprising. I don't know why the media left this out yesterday. They had access clearly to the charging document of that Israeli cyber official that works under Bibi Netanyahu, Bibi Netanyahu's government. Remember, I told you about this yesterday. He was only in Las Vegas for a conference, and he decided that he just had to try to have sex with a minor, and he got swept up, and the police arrested 8 individuals. He was one of them. Oh, but I'm an Israeli. The rules don't apply. We kind of run-ish here. Well, guess what? It turns out that he told, in his charging document, he told the Henderson police in Nevada that he had just met with NSA officials. Okay, so there is now a recorded interview with, and by the way, his name is Tom Artyom Alexandrovic, and there's now a recorded interview in which he tells them that he took a meeting with the NSA, that he had a meeting with the NSA. They had another meeting with the NSA that was supposed to happen the following day after his arrest, and that he had already met with several borough people and NSA people throughout the past week. So, yeah. Could you just imagine that? I think our DOJ came out and said, made a statement like, we had nothing to do with him fleeing back to Israel. You were taking meetings with this guy. Could you imagine the courage that it takes, the absolute audacity, not courage, the audacity, the level of, I have no respect for your country, or rather no fear for your country, because we know we're in control, especially when you get to talking about cyber officials in Israel. They're always like, oh, they help us, the Israeli tech. The Israeli tech is leading the day. That is why we have a relationship with Israel that we do. That's why they are our greatest ally, because they create such good tech. Yeah, to spy on us and to blackmail us. That's what that tech is about, people. And so imagine his audacity. He comes here for a conference. He's meeting with the officials at the NSA, and he tries to have sex with a minor in Vegas because he can. Why not? Yeah, he was trying to lure a minor to go see a show in Vegas. Absolutely disgusting. And doesn't matter. He's back in Israel. And you know, certainly, they're not going to give us, Trump admin is not going to give us a statement about that. They are busy. Pam Bondi especially is busy. Remember, she had to give a same day response when a college kid, a male, college male, who should never take himself seriously and should be made fun of for the rest of his life for calling the feds and recording a tiff that he had with another student on campus. Like, that's the state of manhood in America right now, that you have a, 20-year-old kid who decides to put on an IDF shirt to go to the gym on a college campus because they're not committing a genocide. It's literally like saying F you to everyone on the campus. I don't care. And a girl had words for him, and he decided to whip out his phone because that's so manly. I'm going to record the girl saying words to me. And then she shoves him. Remember that? Remember that incident, that terrible incident? The greatest, it was the worst incident of anti-Semitism, right? This kid suffered so badly, but the feds got involved immediately. Pam Bondi gave a statement, right? Swooped right on in there. Thank you, Press McCullough, she said, for your leadership and prompt action. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Florida or anywhere else. And then she tags everyone for having defeated the shove. The shove, but I hope that he's okay. They even said they were going to provide therapy to students on campus because this shove was so traumatizing. Like, why can't I just wear genocidal t-shirts? I don't understand. Go to the gym. Oh my God, we're watching it again. Viewer discretion advised. She puts the middle finger up. And by the way, when he posts it, he writes wheezing, which means laughing. And then, that's great. Feds got involved. And that girl has been off campus since. I'm just wondering if the feds could have swooped in that quickly when someone tried to have sex with a minor in Vegas while they were taking meetings with the feds. And the answer is no. That's why he's back in Israel. Just letting you guys know. The answer is obviously no. They can't do that. That's not their job. Their job is to fight words, not acts. Like, you know, mean words is what they've got to take care of now. make sure the students are feeling extra safe in their spaces on college campuses. Anyways, you guys, as if it couldn't get even worse, and because I feel this year that for whatever reason, pedophiles are just spiking the ball on humanity. The NPR has announced in a headline that there is a musical that is being done that centers around bigotry, anti-Semitism, and they are putting together a Tony Award-winning musical about the real-life lynching of a Jewish man in 1915. Now, if you don't know this story, it's because what happened was a Catholic girl got ruthlessly murdered by a wealthy Jew in Atlanta, Georgia, who was a member of B'nai B'rith, which is a Freemasonic Jewish group, which Sigmund Freud was a member of. So that tells you where we're at with like how they treat kids. Sigmund Freud was a member of B'nai B'rith. They were the precursor to the ADL. The ADL has tons of power. This guy's name was Leo Frank, this rich Jew who ran a pencil factory, and he ruthlessly murdered Mary Fagan, who was a poor Catholic girl who was working for him. And the people that worked at this factory, these miners, testified that they were terrified of him, that he was gross, that he would make sexual remarks to them. This guy was so rich and so powerful that he then tried to blame it on a black guy. This is 1913 Atlanta. Like, you don't even have to give him a reason to lynch a black man, right? You could have just been like, he sneezed my way, and they would have lynched him. The evidence was so overwhelming that Leo Frank did it, that they actually said, no, actually, you did this. You did this, and you tried to pin it on your black employee because you know it's the South and it's racist, and that normally we would lynch this dude, but you're just up to your neck in guilt. He lied, changed his testimony multiple times, then tried to get another one of his friends, like tried to throw it on him, okay? And the ADL has been trying to go backwards and relitigate this and pretend that Leo Frank was a victim of lynching. Yeah, he did end up getting lynched because of what he did to a child. They hunted him down and they lynched him. But they want you to know he's the real victim of the story, right? Because why can't you just kill a Catholic girl, right? You're wealthy. You're Jewish. It's a Catholic girl. You're in B'nai B'rith, a pretty powerful Jewish group. It's a Freemasons. And you can't just kill a Catholic girl, Mary Fagan, and get away with it. That they're now turning it into a musical because this is how they do stuff. They turn it into theater. This is similar to how we learned. Remember the Laramie Project, which was all about Matthew Shepard, and they made you think that he was like this victim of being lynched for being gay. They're doing that thing again, where it's requiring them to rewrite history, lie to you about everything. But man, I bet you it's going to be pull at your heartstrings when you realize that you can't just murder a little Catholic girl. You can't just kill her. You can't just kill her. And you should be sickened. You should be sickened. He was a despicable human being, a despicable boss. For as long as I live, they even gave me a friendly mention, said that I was pushing the conspiracy theory. He's guilty. He was convicted. You're not turning this man into a victim. You're just not going to do it, okay? Literally not going to happen. I will do a deep dive on who Leo Frank was and my suspicions about who he was related to, which is the reason why you guys are for decades trying to clean his name. I have some suspicions about that, even more powerful than just owning a pencil factory. I will do a deep dive on this. You are not going to erase Catholic history. You're just not going to do it, okay? You guys have been doing that for a very long time. It's why you hate Catholics, because we remember history. We know what was going on in Europe, and you hate Catholics for holding on to it. And I'm going to hold on to it a little bit more, so long as I have a platform. So help me God, I promise you that I will tell a story about what Leo Frank did to Mary Fagan, okay? The victim here is Mary Fagan. So maybe put on a musical about what happened to Mary Fagan that night. He was powerful. She was powerless and she was broke. Anyways, let me not tell you how I really feel. Let me stop telling you about how I really feel. Going to now tell you that in which is kind of similar to these presidential lawsuits that are happening. In case you missed it, Melania Trump, who I like very much. Honestly, she's my favorite Trump. She really is my favorite Trump. And you know, when she speaks, I think she's very dignified and she's very powerful. And when she tends to take a very strong stance, it's because someone has, first and foremost, the first time she did it was because they were going after her son. She was like, absolutely not. Barron is underage. They were, I think, accusing him at the time of having autism. The press was just so vicious and disgusting that they just couldn't leave him alone because they hated Trump so much. And they just wanted every layer of Trump's life to be destroyed. And she took a very dignified stance against that. And she has really shown herself to be the, like, mama, don't play that. Well, we were showing you clips of Hunter Biden's interview, And he discussed the Jeffrey Epstein saga and was very much saying, is anybody supposed to believe that this guy just got away with this and that they don't know, they don't have more information? Honestly, Milo Yiannopoulos said, and I don't think that we have, maybe we did actually show that interview with him, where he says that he was coming off like he's the natural heir to MAGA, like he doesn't really care. And he's just saying everything and he's had enough and he's going after people in the press. He's going after George Clooney. He's going after his own side and calling those people fake, Jake Tapper. It was a refreshing interview, no doubt. But in that interview, I kind of forgot that Hunter Biden suggested that Jeffrey Epstein was the person that introduced Melania to Trump. Obviously, that is a serious allegation, not one that exactly caught fire, but given everything and how angry people are about Jeffrey Epstein and what he actually is, you can understand why Melania Trump does not want that association, especially if it's not true. So she sent him a cease and desist. It was big news, and said, I will sue you for $1 billion if you do not say that this information is both false and defamatory. Essentially, you need to go back on your word here and clarify things. Well, Hunter Biden responded to her threat of lawsuit. He went back onto Andrew Callahan's show, and here is what he had to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, the day of presidential litigation has arrived. It's lawsuit time. In my hand is a legal demand letter addressed to Mr. Hunter Biden from the First Lady of the United States, demanding a retraction of Channel 5's video called Hunter Biden Returns, in which Mr. Biden here makes some speculative comments about the relationship between Jeffrey Epstein, Melania Trump, and Donald Trump.
Okay, well, they knew each other well. They spent an enormous time together. According to his biographer, is that Jeffrey Epstein introduced Melania. That's how Melania and the First Lady and the President met.
Really? Yeah. Epstein made the intro?
Yeah, according to Michael Wolff. Yeah. And so I only can go by what people are saying, and I don't know.
He didn't make these claims out of nowhere. They come from another journalist named Michael Wolff, who is a biographer that actually spoke to Jeffrey Epstein. But now here we are, and I've got a billion-dollar document in my hands because Mrs. Trump is seeking $1 billion in damages if we don't take the video down and if Hunter here doesn't issue a formal apology to Mrs. Trump. So now we're here maybe to give you the platform to apologize to the First Lady for your statements that you made about her possible connection to Jeffrey Epstein.
That's not going to happen.
There you have it. He says, F that. That's not going to happen. I think this is why people, well, not people, I think when Milo said that he's a natural heir to MAGA, it's because he's basically, first and foremost, it is a valid argument that it was published in a book by, you know, if this is something that Michael Wolff, which I think Michael Wolff is an absolute disaster and he's lied a lot. And I still don't know why Trump granted him any access. I remember I was very frustrated by that in the first term when he wrote that big book and said he spoke with Trump and that he heard that, whatever. He was a liar. There's no question that Michael Wolff is a liar. And I actually believe, Melania, that this is a lie because so many other things he put in that book was a lie. But it does follow that you would have to sue Michael Wolff for having published that or having said that, whatever it is, before you could go for somebody for repeating what that person has published. And so, yeah, I do think that a lot of times we need to remember that he was not acting in bad faith. If he read it and he believes that it's real, it would be very hard for her to achieve the actual malice standard. She's saying it's not real. Michael Wolff is saying it is real. Again, I tend to believe Melania because I think she's very dignified and she's angry. And that's the reason why she wrote this letter. But it is incumbent upon you to go after Michael Wolff, which I think we would all love to see, to be quite honest with you. I think he's got showed that he has a lot of ties to the deep state. And I think that book was really done because the deep state was trying to get Trump out of there. I really do believe that that's the reason that they did it. And that's the reason why Trump is surrounded at this moment, because he has given he's just handed over the reins to the deep state, as evidenced by the fact that he is letting go of the Jeffrey Epstein story. And I'm sorry, I cannot at all say that I feel that Melania has been harmed by the Jeffrey Epstein story more than the Americans have been harmed by her husband's refusal to look further into this. So I really like Melania. I hope that I know how she feels as a mother, obviously, and I hope that she can perhaps communicate to Trump that this is unacceptable. You know, if you want to be the leader of the free world, if you want to be the president of the United States, then you are going to have the gumption to tell Americans the truth. We know the truth already, so you might as well just say it. Anyways, you guys, before I get into some of your comments, I want to tell you guys about Brick House Whey, because if you've tried so many different protein powders over the years, you know the drill. It can be weird, the textures especially, chalky, aftertaste, ingredients that you can't pronounce. Well, the doctors over at Brick House Nutrition clued me in on why protein powders fail. It's because poor quality protein plus cheap fillers like maltodextrin, soy, corn syrup, sodium, and cellulose, yeah, that's what makes them crappy. If your protein powder just isn't cutting it, then you should make the switch to Brick House Whey protein. Brick House Whey is bioengineered by doctors, not marketers. This is the new science in protein powder that delivers results that you can feel immediately. Brick House Whey's clean formula delivers professional level muscle growth, unsurpassed energy, and rapid workout recovery. And it's lactose-free, so there's never any bloating or stomach aches. So whether you're hitting the gym, chasing kids, or just trying to stay on top of your health, this protein fits into your real life. Make the switch to Brick House Whey for guaranteed results, or you will get your money back. Go to thenewway.com and use promo code Candace for 20% off your order. Again, that is promo code Candace at thenewway.com. Also telling you guys about 7 Weeks Coffee. I tell you guys about 7 Weeks Coffee all the time. It's America's pro-life coffee company, which is on a mission to fund the pro-life movement one cup of coffee at a time. And they hit an amazing milestone, over $1 million donated to the pro-life movement. We know why they're called 7 Weeks Coffee. It's because at 7 weeks, a baby is the size of a coffee bean. And it's the same time that a heartbeat is clearly detected on an ultrasound. That's why they donate 10% of every sale to support pregnancy care centers across all 50 states, providing life-saving ultrasounds, resources for moms in need, and real hope for families. And it all started with just one simple idea, use your morning cup of coffee to stand for life. 7 weeks coffee is more than a great tasting coffee. It is mold-free, pesticide-free. It is shade-grown, low acid. Plus, it is organically farmed. It checks all the boxes. So go to 7weekscoffee.com and you'll save 15% forever if you subscribe, and you'll get a free gift. Plus, exclusively for my listeners, if you use code Candace at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% off your first order. So that's a total of 25% total savings on your first order plus a free gift. Remember that your order will directly help support a network of over 1,000 pro-life organizations across the U.S. Visit 7weekscoffee.com, promo code Candace today. All right, you guys, I wanted to very quickly, as we get into comments, read one of the comments that was under yesterday's episode, which was written in by Ana Maria Dominguez, very Spanish name, which why it makes sense. And she wrote, "I'm from Spain, and our King Philippe has recently been accused by journalists of frequently traveling to Morocco to engage in homosexual encounters with young local boys. So far, nobody from the royal family of Spain has denied the accusations. This is a crazy world." It jogged my memory, and I want to be clear, I'm not sure if it is Spain or if it was Italy. And for some reason, I think it's Spain, because I remember I was researching Theodore Herzl, who's a very relevant piece of this picture. He had visited, and I think the reason why I think it was Spain is because it was after King Umberto. I'm sorry, I think it was Italy, was because I think I was researching after King Umberto was shot. And the person that came in next basically told Theodore Herzl, "My ancestors are Sabbatian Jews." So I was telling you guys about that cult movement that believed in practicing incest and pedophilia, and the idea that they had to sin in order to go up in the world. So like through the depth of their sin, they would rise ranks in the world. And that was known as Sabbatian Frankism. And he said that on record to Theodore Herzl. Again, it was either Spain or Italy, but you should research that period of Theodore Herzl and Spain and Italy and see what comes up. But everybody in every country should be researching this, because it's kind of what unites the globe. And that's why we cover it on this show. We get into history. We want you guys to be aware of things that were happening. And there's so much more that I've researched that I can't wait to present to you. I wish I could take a year off to research, to be frank. Sometimes I'm like, I think I need to take a week off just to research, because so much of it is coming together and a picture is becoming clear about what happened. This new world order was established. It's very clear that it was established. And I would say there was kind of this global reset probably around like 1850. And really we allowed people like the Sigmund Freuds of the world to kind of form a new hierarchy and to introduce new ideas. And you kind of have to go backward and understand who these people are to understand our present, which is why we are reading. We know we got a book club very soon. We have book club in 45 minutes, actually. We are reading The Assault on Truth and getting and going backwards and understanding things. So we're going to see you guys in just 45 minutes in the book club. If you have not joined, you can do that. Okay, a couple more comments before we go off so I can get a break before we go into the book club, not the book club. We have David who writes, E.T. is cute and he's copping too much. He's copping too much strays. Macrone and me is more accurate. Thank you so much, David. I don't know what you guys are talking about. You guys keep mentioning E.T. We never show E.T. on the show. So it's weird that you guys keep saying it. Super Coco writes, crazy world, crazy people. Candace, how do we not become insane nowadays? Knowledge. Knowledge is true freedom. True knowledge is true freedom. Dex writes, the Delaware superiority, the Superior Court ruled against Newsmax for defamation. They hate conservatives. I hope you can at least move the case to federal court in Delaware since the Macrones are foreign nationals. All the best. Yeah, the Dominion voting system defamation case, the whole reason they brought in Tom Clare, totally different set of rules. First off, they settled. So they're actually not ruling against them. It was a settlement, which means that it's being done outside of court. And typically when you're dealing with a news organization, the reason that they settle is not because they don't think that they could win. It's because they would be losing to win, which is they would then have to hand over all of their communications. And that could be a very painful process for a news company. That's why I think CNN that settled with Trump as well. You're not going to want to have It was ABC? Okay. ABC and CBS. You just don't want to go through that really painful process of discovery. I'm open to being discovered because I have nothing to hide. There was no collusion. There obviously was no coordination with any far-right politicians in France or otherwise or in Russia. All that's completely crazy. They know that's completely crazy. So I have nothing to hide. And also, this is a sitting president of France. This is not a private company, which is Dominion Votings. Okay. The idea that we are not allowed to critique sitting presidents is out of control. Like that just cannot fly in America, but much more to come. We do have, I think, a very effective legal strategy here, and we're looking forward to discovery. At my end, I have nothing to hide. I would imagine, given the fact that they're hiding everything, that the Macrones have a lot that they want to hide. Next, good enough government work rights. When I was in the National Guard, we were always told that Abu Ghraib was the reason that National Guard soldiers were rarely deployed afterwards. That logic never made sense to me, though. Very interesting. I did not know that. Zach Rorden writes, have you looked into Return to the Land? They're a whites-only community that is labeled anti-Semitic and blacklisted by the ADL. The U.S. Attorney for Eastern Arkansas sent their case to the DOJ. I toured the property and interviewed a leader. No, I have no idea what Return to the Land is. I will have to look into it. But, I mean, anything that's blacklisted by the ADL generally is probably someone that you should be supporting. Yeah, because the ADL was born up in Iberith and they were Freemasonic freaks and they established it to lie, to defame people in order to protect Leo Frank. And like I said, I think his lineage meant more to them than has been made available to the public yet, because they are like, they freak out about the Leo Frank case and they're lying about it. But we all have the ability to research and learn about that case, and you should do it. That poor girl, Mary Fagan. Anyways, you guys, we will see you tomorrow. And if you are in the book club, I will see you in about 45 minutes.